views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris. Then I go.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. Spring has sprung in New England. I have to say it's a gorgeous day up here in my neck of the woods. And last week, I had the great privilege of attending the Tick-Borne Disease Alliance's Masquerade Ball in New York City. 1,000 people came together to raise money for Lyme disease research and awareness. Over $1 million was raised that night, and we did a special live broadcast, Dr. Pat and myself. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Chris, at WBLQ and Transformation Talk Radio. People, visit my website, please, limelightradio.com, and go listen to our podcast from the gala last week. Absolutely fantastic. We did over 4 hours of broadcasting and amazing interviews. So I just want to say thank you again to TBDA. What a magnificent night. To Dr. Pat and Jessica and Linda Firing for all coming out and helping me broadcast. And to my crew at WBLQ, you guys are the best. So thank you. And today I have to say a couple special things. You're going to be hearing music on the break as we lead out from the break. It's the Borrelia Chronicles, rap music by one of our friends in the Lyme disease community, Chris Grabber. So thank you, Chris, for sending me this MP3 and for Brian for putting it on today on today's show. It's going to be fun to hear this great piece of work. So let me welcome our guest. We have a very special guest. I'm so excited. I've been very eager to interview Dr. Ernie Murakami, who is from Canada. He's from British Columbia. He's well-renowned, and many people have been aware of his amazing work in Canada for over the past 20 years. He's been one of the pioneers bringing Lyme disease to the forefront in Canada. Poor Canada. They're stricken with this illness, and the government has not gotten on board with how serious this infection is. So Dr. Murakami is also known, and he's going to share with us, for his tick removal systems. He's got some really important information here on how to properly remove ticks. And with over 20 years of experience, we know that we're going to learn a lot today. So welcome, Dr. Murakami, to Limelight Radio.
Thank you, Katrina, for having me. I feel honored.
Oh, it's such a privilege to have you. You've spoken at so many conferences around the world, and I've heard some of your lectures before, and you're a wealth of knowledge.
Well, I'm glad to participate, and we both have a common problem, and that's to get the whole world aware that we have a problem and then have the medical society get rid of the big divide in their system.
I know. This divide has been going on for so long now. It must be 40 years now of this confusion.
Yes, and it's not just in Canada, but it's spread around the world.
It is. We had interviews with Poland and Denmark a couple of weeks ago, and we had Ireland and England as well. I mean, we're learning about this worldwide epidemic with Lyme disease. It's really exploding right now.
It's primarily the doctor's divide that has created the problem. If you could sit down and commonly discuss and share our knowledge, the problem wouldn't be there.
Yeah. So do you believe, because you've been out there in the field really with patients coming in your door now for several decades, do you believe the illness has been here all along and we just haven't understood it, or do you think it's actually getting worse?
Well, the warming effects of the world has increased the survival rate of the ticks and the deer mice, and therefore it's magnified tremendously because of the warming effect. They're not dying off, and we've had evidence that it goes back to 5,000 years ago in mummified bodies and 1,000 years ago in a person who was frozen, and yet they found the protein KDA particles of Lyme, so it's been around a long time. Some people feel there's a more recent epidemic, but I think it's been here a long time, and it's been held in abeyance because of the cold winter months where they were all killed by the temperatures existing over, say, 2 or 3 weeks.
That makes yes, a big difference. Because where I live, I'm almost up to the Canadian border, and we used to have these bitter cold winters with below zero Fahrenheit temperatures for weeks on end, and it's rare now that we have that.
Yes, and this is typified by the pine beetles, which used to be very minimal with the colder weather, but now it's right across the northern part of Canada now, and that's because of the colder, milder winters compared to what it was, say, even 30 years ago.
So tell me about this pine beetle. Is it native to Canada?
No, it's around everywhere, but it survives because of the milder weathers, and they get underneath the bark and thrive on the soft parts of the rapidly growing soft tissues of the trees. And they literally decimate the countryside, and we're having whole mountainsides go gray because of the trees dying off.
Wow. So that's like the ticks, they're now surviving in places they didn't used to before.
Right. So it's not just ticks and pine beetles, but we've got all sorts of other diseases now called co-infections that are becoming a problem, babesiosis, ehrlichiosis. The Western Nile virus is increasing in popularity around North America. Brucellosis and tick paralysis and Wilson's disease. It's just all sorts of infections are increasing because of the warming effect. It's not just Lyme disease. But I would say Lyme disease is the number one most infectious disease in the world right now.
Right now. And, you know, I can remember when I was younger, when I was in college, oh gosh, it's 35 years ago now, studying pre-med. And I remember them saying at that time, this was back in the 70s, that some of the healthiest countries in the world were the Scandinavian countries because they had such bitter cold weather that it killed off so many organisms. But as you said, with global warming, we're seeing a real shift like this around the world.
Right, it's a tremendous shift, and we have to sort of acknowledge the fact that these infections are going to become very commonplace, and we have to adjust our thinking drastically. Can't be complacent about this whole issue.
So, Dr. Murakami, I want you to explain, if you could, about your tick removal processes. You have two different systems, right, to properly remove ticks.
Yes. The one method that I developed with the medical profession and medical students, because I teach all the time, is the blister method of xylocaine and adrenaline immediately under the tick's mouth. The tick is looking for blood, but if it tastes xylocaine and adrenaline, and the mechanical blister is a blister, and it's not subcutaneous, it's intradermal. So you raise the blister, the tick will say, hey, this isn't blood. I'm tasting xylocaine and adrenaline cocktail. This is not my feed. So she will automatically drop off on its own, and you will see this in Murakami tick removal under the YouTube. That's the number one method I trained medical students and residents for, and we were using it successfully if people know about it. And the other method is the drinking straw. Where you approach the tick from behind it and hold it at 45 degrees, and you put a thread underneath the straw and make a single knot, and you grab the tick by the mouth and not by the head or the stomach. Because when you grab the head and the stomach, you're compressing the body and you're forcing injectile vomiting or regurgitation of the abdominal contents back into the host, which you want to avoid. But if you put the single knot around the tick's mouth and just tug at it just gently, relax and pull, the tick will come out on its own. It's got to release itself by the barbs that are on both sides of the mouth. It's like a barb hook. And if you pull a barb hook out of the body, you just can't do it. You have to get rid of the barbs. And the only people or only animal that can do it is a tick. The tick's got to remove the barbs, flatten it right up against its sides, and it'll come out on its own. And you'll see this on visual effects from the YouTube. Both procedures are described there, and you'll see the ticks come out on its own, and it's coming on its own because it's dropping its barbs flat against its sides, and it can pull itself out. But unless you do that, it'll break off. There's all sorts of techniques of pulling. They say pull constantly. The governments tell you, take a pair of forceps, pull constantly, it'll come out. It'll break off. If you take a hook like effect and pull, the same thing. You've got to get the tick to flatten its barb out against its side. And the twisting method, the same thing. You break off the barbs. Because I've seen a lot of people who have to have it taken off, different methods, and they all break off. And it's been shown that the salivary glands and the parts that break off contain infection. And this was shown by Dr. Stryker, who I lectured with in Vancouver last year, and he said these infections are in the broken parts. So the broken parts have got to be avoided.
Yeah, so this is very important, listeners. I want you to go to YouTube and Google Dr. Murakami, Murakami, and look at these two visual videos of how to remove the ticks properly. So Dr. Murakami, stay with me because it's time for our station break, and I want to talk a little bit more about these removal techniques when we get back.
Up this morning and got out of bed, had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Hurt, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Cause Borrelia is not a bore. Let's throw a house party like never before.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's deerdefence@gmail.com.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Woke up this morning and got out of bed. Had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Herc, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we're visiting with Dr. Ernie Murakami from Canada, from British Columbia. Thank you, Dr. Murakami, for joining us. And this is very interesting what you were just teaching us about properly removing tics. The old-fashioned methods that I remember when I was a little girl of taking a burnt match and holding it up to the tick's head, or the other folklore method that people use of putting Vaseline to smother the ticks, it sounds like those are very bad practices because it makes the tick upset and it will regurgitate, right?
Right. The Vaseline, ointments, butter, margarine, you smother anything, what happens? They vomit, regurgitate, defecate, and urinate, which you want to avoid because they're releasing their spirochetes. If you use heat, it'll kill the spirochete, and you can't culture the spirochete from a dead tick. But anything, heat or matches, cigarettes, if you heat the body, the gases and the liquid inside the stomach will expand. It'll go shooting out through the proboscis back into the host. If you grasp it using your fingers, you're going to compress the abdomen, again, injectile vomiting. And using ice, it contracts the abdomen. Again, you're going to cause the vomiting into the abdomen. Using antiseptics like alcohol or acetone, Dettol, is what also smothering it. It's also causing a fright or flight mechanism. And again, the insect will vomit, defecate, and urinate, which is what you want to avoid. And I'm totally against the government saying, take a pair of squeezers and hold it and pull continuously upward. Those barbs are in their body, and they're going to spread out even more when you pull it up. So you have to have the tick release itself on its own. And this will be quite visible on the YouTube videos that I've got on for both of these.
Yes. Yeah, so now I'm thinking the one that you explained to us with the straw, that one people could learn how to do, so they could do that in their own house or in your yard, or if you found a tick on your body, correct?
Yes. If you're lucky enough, sometimes it's large enough, you can put the thread underneath the tick when it's quite large. But when it's tiny and small, you need something to direct the thread to the mouth of the tick. And if you do the drinking straw at 45 degrees from the back end of the tick, and put the thread or suture underneath the straw and make a single knot, that single knot will go to the mouth. And that's where you want to put a little bit of gentle pressure. You can't pull too much pressure because you'll tear it out. But if you put traction, release, traction, and release gently, the tick will realize on its own, hey, there's something wrong here, and he'll flatten the barbs out down to the sides of its proboscis or mandible, whatever you want to call it, and it'll come out on its own gently. You've got to be a bit patient, though.
Yeah, you've got to take your time and ease it out.
Had a tick.
Now,
now
the other method that you talked about, the blister method, that you would need to visit a healthcare practitioner's office for, right?
Yes, naturopathic doctors, MDs, and nurse practitioners can put this blister right underneath the tick's mouth. And that will be, just leave it, make that tight, tight blister. And the area will go white because the adrenaline will cause further vasoconstriction and exsanguinate the blood in that area. The xylocaine, if it's tight, like a tight, tight blister, then that has a blanching effect and all the blood will be forced away from that area.
Right, so then the tick is going to reject
it. It's going to not taste any blood.
It doesn't taste like blood anymore.
It'll come out on its own. You just watch it. It'll come out on its own.
So that is something that doctors and nurse practitioners, naturopaths, can learn pretty quickly how to do, right?
All they have to do is go on YouTube, and you can see both techniques there.
Okay, so you can tell your doctors that, listeners, you can have your doctors also send them the link to Dr. Murakami's videos of how to do this so your doctor or nurse practitioner can get educated as well. Because the more people we get trained, Dr. Murakami, the better off we're going to be, right?
Because I feel these broken parts are sometimes a cause of chronic recurring infection because they're broken off and they're carrying it in their salivary glands.
Wow. So now, you had said to me it was, what, 1994 that you saw your first Lyme disease case?
Yes, I was at a penitentiary with my medical student, and the patient showed up with a perfect circle. And I realized, that's Lyme disease. And I told the student to work it up, and he said, oh, that's ringworm, and the swollen glands are probably viral infection, a little bit of arthritis. I said, suppose there was a tick in there, what would you say? He said, is it Lyme disease? And he got it right, so I passed him on that. But that was my first case, and the serology came out positive. The ELISA and the Western blot both came out positive. 3 weeks of antibiotic in that stage one is perfect, and they'll get rid of it. And then I've kept track with the first two people that I've had like this, and they're both doing fine. It's very important to treat it for 3 weeks. Some people say two capsules of doxycycline is all you need. I disagree with that because when the tick bites you and injects thousands and thousands of spirochetes, along with it are the survival forms of the eggs, the spherocytes, the L forms, or granules. And these granules are also injected at the same time that the tick bites into the skin and leaves the spirochete. The spirochete going out at right angles will form a perfect circle. But those eggs will stay docile for a while, and in about a week, they start to mature, and they'll start to multiply, and then people wonder why it's coming, because they had the treatment. But two doxycycline capsules will destroy the spirochetes that were in there, but they will not destroy the survival forms. And a lot of people don't understand this.
Thank you for explaining it. That was absolutely such a succinct explanation. I could visualize it, actually.
Right. I had a neighbor come in, and I said, you have tick there? And he said, yep. I said, come back, because your doctor only gave you two capsules. It's going to come back. And sure enough, 1 week later, there was a red inflammation there. I sent him back to the doctor for 3 weeks of antibiotics, and the fellow did fine. But two doxycycline may work in some cases, but a majority of them, they're not killing the survival forms that we people don't understand.
So as that bullseye ring, then, I'm wondering about this. This is the first time I've thought about this. Like you said, those spirochetes, when they get injected into the body, when the tick, passes the microbes over and they go out at right angles, is that why we see that rash in that particular
right,
fashion?
The body is fighting that circular pattern of that spirochete coming out directly away from the bite. And the body sends out antibodies and white cells and immune bodies to fight that, and you get a reaction. And as it expands and the spirochete grows, the inflammation and the perfect ring circle or target cell is a diagnostic of Lyme disease. If you have that circle, you've got to treat for a minimum of 3 weeks.
Yes, so that makes perfect sense to me now. I can see how the body's trying to contain the infection.
Right.
It's using its natural inflammation pathway to try to contain it within that little circle.
Right. That's what it's trying to do. But usually, if you don't take antibiotics, the spirochete will eventually spread out, and within the end of a week, it's spread all over the body.
Yes, it's made its way through the blood system to various different regions of the body, right?
If a person has poor immunity, it could be into the brain in a very short period of time.
So is that why some people, I'm thinking of a friend I know actually in my region who last summer got bit and right away it went to his nervous system and he showed up with neuropathy and awful back pain. So in his case, it was aggressive enough and his immune status was such that it made its way to the nervous system quickly.
Right. If he's immunocompromised in any way, then the spirochete will spread very quickly, and you've got virulent forms of the spirochete. There's about 300 or 400 strains of the spirochete, and if you're lucky, you might get one that's very sensitive to, say, a few weeks of antibiotics, and yet others, they get into the body, and they become very, very difficult to remove because they're literally laying eggs in your body.
Right, so they're constantly laying eggs and new generations are then hatching out. So that's why it's like a cat and mouse game of using different antibiotics and different pharmaceuticals or whatever to try to catch up with them.
That's right. There's a different set of antibiotics required for the survival forms, because if you just use the ordinary doxycycline and amoxicillin without going into treating the cystic forms, then the disease will come back.
Right. So that's why people relapse.
Right. They relapse and they have a terrible time. They have to go into multiple combinations. You have to go into muscular and intravenous when it gets into the brain. You have to go intravenously.
Right, because it's moved its way so deeply into the body. And I use that, you know, I'm trained as a classical homeopath, and we have what we call directions of cure, which is from the deeper organs to the more external, the skin being the most external. And the reverse would be common then with this illness. We see it move from the skin and its way inward into muscle, connective tissue, joints, organs, nervous system, right?
Every organ in the body is affected by syphilis and Lyme. They're both spirochetes. They're very identical in appearance. And they were noticing the Herx reaction both with Lyme disease and with syphilis. And it's called the Herxheimer reaction. It's a rapid breakdown of the spirochete when you first initiate the antibiotics. But they're very, very closely related. But fortunately, in syphilis, one shot of penicillin or two shots got rid of it, and the eggs were sensitive to the antibiotics, but they're no longer sensitive to straight penicillin anymore.
Yeah, so Lyme disease is more complicated than syphilis, but they are very similar. So, Dr. Murakami, I want to continue this discussion because you've got me very fascinated. The medical part of it is very intriguing to me right now, but it's time for a station break. So audience, stay tuned. We're visiting with Dr. Ernie Murakami from British Columbia, Canada. We're learning so much today. And this is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back.
Woke up this morning and got out of bed. Had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Herx, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Cause Borrelia is not a bore. Let's throw a house party like never before.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com. Or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's DEERDEFENCE@gmail.com.
called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Woke up this morning and got out of bed. Had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Herc, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Cause Borrelia is not a bore. Let's throw a house party.
Hey everyone, isn't that music fantastic? That's The Chronicles of Borrelia by Chris Grabber, one of our friends from San Diego, California, who wrote that great rap song about Lyme disease. Chris, congratulations. We're playing that on Limelight Radio. It's a great tune, and I admire your creative mind to come up with that piece. So we're visiting with Dr. Ernie Murakami from British Columbia, Canada. Such fascinating insights here. I'm learning so much today. Thank you, Dr. Murakami. We've been talking now about how the infection actually takes root in the body, which was very interesting for us to learn. And you've been treating people, as we said, for over two decades now, and you've really witnessed so much controversy within the medical community around this illness. Could you share a little bit more about what you understand to be going on in that vein?
Well, there's a big medical divide, and there's a group of doctors, and they're a minority, mind you, who believe that the disease is here in greater proportions than what the non-believers were saying. But as recently, just a few months ago, one of the naysayers from New York said the incidence is far greater than they thought. He increased his stats from 30,000 per year to 300,000 a year. That's a tenfold jump in naysayers who said that we don't have a problem with Lyme disease. But it is here, and myself, I got started with the buttock removal. I was seeing all these patients with chronic fatigue after. I didn't know what was doing it until I found out it was Lyme disease, and I started treating, and I was getting excellent results. These people were enjoying life. They were going back to college and universities. And it was really, really the results I was getting with the long-term treatment of antibiotics. Although now the clinical diagnosis is accepted by the federal government, I have lectured to them, and they said to the doctors, it is a clinical diagnosis. And yet other doctors and peers say, no, it's got to be one, you've got to have the positive ELISA test, which is a step one in Canada and the world. And if that's negative, you don't have Lyme disease. And the problem is the college differs. They say if you don't have a positive ELISA, you don't have a history of a tick bite, and you don't have a target rash, you don't have Lyme disease, which is grossly, grossly inadequate because the size of a nymphal stage is the size of a dot. So if you get bitten by the nymphal stage, which is just as infectious as an adult female, even notice the rash or the bite. And many of the people who are lucky enough to have a rash, they're very fortunate, but I think that's less than 20%. Some people say not. I think that's wrong. And as I do, I lecture across Canada, and I've found that wherever I go, there's an incidence of 50% minimum of the participants that are attending are Lyme patients. And yet the incidence being reported by the health people are about 300 cases per year in Canada. And yet, if you consider 300,000 accepted by the American naysayers, then we easily have 10%. In other words, we should have 30,000 cases a year. Mm-hmm. And yet, we only report about 300.
Wow.
So it's obviously wrong. And for my evidence in the fact that I think we are making a misdiagnosis is that the MS incidence in Canada is the highest in the world, up to 340 per 100,000. That stops at the Alaska-Canada border and the U.S.-Canada border. All of a sudden, we're the highest MS in the world. And the other thing is, we have the lowest incidence of Lyme disease in the world. And yet I'm called the person as being a zealot about the whole thing, but I said, well, prove that I'm wrong. How could we have 340 per 100,000 and the lowest case of Lyme disease, 0.1 to 1 case per 100,000, that the figures just don't add up? I said, we are making a terrible misdiagnosis, and the sooner we find out about it and educate our doctors, the better off we'll be. And as far as education goes, I did teach at the University of Medical School for 5 years about family practice and Lyme disease, and they sort of, I got sort of cut off, I guess, because I didn't get a full agreement on the whole problem. But now the naturopathic doctors in college agrees with what I'm doing, and I lecture to the medical schools in BC and the ones already in Toronto. But they're on board. The naturopathic physicians are on board that there is an epidemic that's got to be treated. And fortunately in BC, they can now prescribe and give IV antibiotics.
They cannot. The naturopaths cannot?
Cannot across Canada except in BC. They can now, they have right examinations and they can give IVs and oral medications. So that's a tremendous asset for us.
It is. And the naturopathic doctors, actually, I have thought this for quite some time. They are the best armed, so to speak, to deal with Lyme disease because they can use the antibiotics, as you said. They have all the clinical training and knowledge in anatomy and physiology, et cetera, like medical doctors do. But they also are trained in herbals and nutritional protocols, so they can go about rebuilding all the depletions and damage that these infections induce with people because so many people have you know, nervous system depletions, adrenal dysfunction, right. Hormone imbalances, right?
Right. And it's very, very touching that I learned a lot from the herbal practice of medicine from the naturopathic physicians. And I learned about a few things that do work in conjunction with antibiotics. So I'm combining both evidence-based medicine in medicine and also from the naturopathic doctors. And I've combined the two and I've got good results. And most recently, I know that medicinal marijuana is a big subject. But I was against it, and so was Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He was against it, too. But he went to Israel and studied some cases, and he was totally flabbergasted when a little girl was having epileptic seizures called Dravet syndrome, and mm-hmm. she had been given all the Dilantin, the Phenobarb, the benzos, the Tagamets, the carbamazepine, all these drugs did not seize, could control her seizures every 2 to 3 per hour.
Oh, my gosh.
They took her to Colorado for legal marijuana, and they took her to a hotel, and they gave her a couple of drops. They waited 1 hour, no seizures. They were just flabbergasted. And then 2 hours went by, no seizures. The whole night went by, and she was convulsing 2 or 3 times a day and night. So they were just flabbergasted, and the whole week went by, and she may have had 1 or 2 minor seizures, but they were totally flabbergasted. And I think the medical world has really got to open their eyes. There is something there.
Yes.
I've learned a lot from them, and I think that we have to open our eyes. But we can't have the establishment saying, no, there's no benefit from cannabis, or specifically cannabidiol, which is different from the HTC. There's a THC component to marijuana, which gives you the psychic high, whereas the CBD, the cannabidiol, gives you no psychotic high and yet has tremendous effect on pain, nausea and vomiting, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer. I was flabbergasted when a child with a brain glioma was given marijuana oil and that tumor actually disappeared. And if you don't got my word, look up Dr. Gupta because he wrote up on all these subjects. We have to open our eyes. We have to open our eyes to Lyme disease. We have to open it up to medicinal marijuana. And I don't know. I just feel that we as doctors have got to stop digging in our heels for everything that comes up. There are things that have to be investigated.
Because
yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, if we look back over the generations for thousands of years, actually, they turned to nature for healing tools, right?
Right. Well, you think of all the medicines that come from modern medicine, like digitalis and cancer cures and cortisone, they all come from plants.
Yes.
So I think we have to really open our eyes on what we can do to combine our efforts, our knowledge, and help the people who are suffering. We can't have you know, establishment say, no, no, we're not going to change our mind, they got to open their eyes. They got to really dig in and say, look, let's study this. Let's get together. Because that's what I've been trying to do with Lyme disease. And I keep lecturing across Canada all the time. And every time I go, I get winners. I get doctors coming. Some of them are afraid of being made aware that they're attending my lectures. But I said, if you attend my lecture, what's wrong with that? You're not reading. You're just listening to my lectures.
Well, hats off to you, Dr. Murakami. You're just out there. I'm so elated to hear what you're sharing with us today. It's really eye-opening. And it's time for our station break. So listeners, stay with us. Dr. Murakami's got us on the edge of our seats here. This is Limelight Radio with Katina.
Woke up this morning and got out of bed. Had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Herc, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Cause Borrelia is not a bore. Let's throw a house party like never before.
Sick of laying in my bed forever.
Let's get Borrelia back together. First, I gotta share my protocol.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to introduce you to my friends at BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor in the United States and Canada. Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. Practitioners often complement Beyond Balance formulas with high-quality homeopathic, such as Pecanus bigeric remedies to enhance patient results. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. And together,
your spiritual connection? Connect with a loved one in the spirit world. Develop your spiritual gifts? Call respected, recognized, gifted intuitive, medium, and spiritual teacher Jennifer Farmer to schedule your transformative in-depth reading. These powerful sessions offer healing insights from the spirit world and personal guidance for all areas of your life. Call Jennifer at 727-324-9668. That's 727-324-9668. And visit jenniferfarmer.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's deerdefence@gmail.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Woke up this morning and got out of bed. Had some really fresh thoughts running through my head. Call up DJ Ivy just to see how she's doing.
Yo, MC Herc, I'm feeling pretty ruined.
Cause Borrelia is not a bore. Let's throw a house party like never before.
Sick of laying in my bed forever.
Let's get Borrelia back together.
Hello, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome back to Limelight Radio. Fabulous song today, Chronicles of Borrelia by Chris Graber out of San Diego. And Dr. Murakami, you have gotten us so involved here today in this Lyme disease situation and so many different pieces of it that we're looking at with you, a wealth of knowledge. I appreciate you so much. And I have to say, I've long had this feeling myself about Lyme disease, and I'd like to make this comment to you and see if you agree with me. I have said that this is the infectious illness epidemic of our era that asks us to unite the two hands of healthcare. It asks us to take the diagnostics and the pharmaceutical tools of traditional allopathic medicine and marry it with the restorative therapeutics of natural medicine, because two hands working together are better than one.
I certainly agree, and that's my plea, is that the medical profession and the naturopathic profession get together and discuss their common knowledge that would benefit society and all the patients that are suffering. And in Canada, most of our cases have to go out of country to get treatment at a terrible expense. They're selling their homes to get treatment. That's what's happening in Canada.
Yes, I can imagine it. I mean, when I was so sick with Lyme a number of years ago, same thing. This was back in 2005, and it was still kind of only certain parts of the United States were accepting treatments. I had to sell my home as well also to handle paying the bills. So, you know, Canada's in serious trouble. I understand that Lyme disease is really there to stay, but that your government and governing medical body have not really recognized it yet, have they?
No, the federal government said it's a clinical diagnosis. My peers and the colleges have a different view of that.
Yes.
The people have to have the positive ELISA, the bite, and the rash.
So right now I noticed on your website that you are asking for people to send in ticks, right, that they think are possibly infected. Are you trying to get some data that way?
I'm trying to get data on the tick removal, because the removal of the tick is wrong. You pull, you're going to break it off. You twist, you're going to break it off. You put a hook on it, you're going to break it off. The tick has to remove its own barbs and come out on its own, because if you don't, those barbs that are left in are going to infect the patient. So what I'm doing, I'm looking under the microscope and see if the mouth parts are still there. If they're broken off, then all these tick sneaks that we're using to remove ticks have got to be changed. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a project to try and diagrammatically explain what I'm trying to say.
Right, I understand. So with our discussion now that we've had about with treatments of Lyme disease, and, you know, some of these cases, people have been infected really for, you know, sometimes 20 years until they've gotten a proper diagnosis, and they've been misdiagnosed with something else like lupus or chronic fatigue syndrome or MS or even multiple diagnoses. Do you feel there's any hope for some of these long-term older cases to actually recover?
It depends on the strain. As I say, there's 300 or 400 strains of the spirochete, and some are very easy to treat. Even though they've been there for a long time and the patient has sort of suppressed it off and on, depends on the strain. If the strain is virulent, it's hard to get rid of. But if it's very sensitive to antibiotics, then I'm hopeful that they will get a good response. And, of course, I'm kind of fascinated by combining the evidence-based medicine along with this cannabidiol. I'm just so fascinated what it can do.
Yes, it really is intriguing, isn't it? And I know too, because I am one of the lucky ones that recovered from an advanced neurological Lyme with the use of the herbal protocols. I used the cat's claw and the andrographis and artemisian and other herbs, and also homeopathic medicine and nutritionals to rebuild my, you know, weakened immune function, etc. And I reclaimed my life. So, you know, our friends from nature, they are our allies, and I think if we can learn more, as you said, with the cannabidiol and also the different herbs, there is some hope there that these restorative natural medicines could come to play with this kind of illness.
Yes, I fully agree. Let's do some evidence-based study on all these things that are showing promise, really good promise.
Really good promise. Dr. Murakami, I understand we have a phone call on the line. A listener has a question. Let's take this phone call from Donna from Pennsylvania. Hi, Donna.
Hi,
welcome to Limelight Radio.
Hi, thank you. It's good to talk to you. Hi, Dr. Murakami.
Hello.
I have a question. I was curious to know, what's the longest period of time you've ever treated someone for Lyme? Oh, and with Lyme, I mean the whole combination of illnesses, I guess. I don't mean just Lyme. But how long have you seen someone in treatment for that?
The longer it goes, the more difficult it is. There's no doubt about that. And sometimes it becomes permanent scar tissue, which you can't heal. But if you have a strain, like as I mentioned, that is sensitive, it will respond fairly quickly. And yet others may take years. So that you're looking at years, and usually what I do is if they have a problem and it does resolve to a certain point or plateaus at a certain point, at say 2 or 3 months, it doesn't change, then you change the antibiotic or so recommend to the doctor to go a different route, like intramuscular or intravenous or a combination of drugs. So I would say maybe the longest I've gone is about 2 years, and fortunately they did respond, but it was combined with the cannabidiol plus the antibiotic. It was a combination of the two that did it. The antibiotic alone wouldn't do it, and the herbs alone wouldn't do it, but the combination did the trick. So there's something to be learned from this.
But
I say 2 years is about the longest I would ever treat anybody with antibiotics. I would try to give up, go to alternate routes.
Yes, because I am imagining our bodies would have repercussions from long-term antibiotics.
Well, resistance is a factor, and Clostridium difficile is another one, and fungus infections. So long-term antibiotics do have complications, and we have to be very wary of that.
Thank you, Don. I hope that helped
okay,
you a
thank
little
you.
Bit.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in today. So we only have another couple minutes, Dr. Murakami. I would like to ask you a question from me. What has Lyme disease taught you?
Well, it taught me that there's a lot of people suffering, that with the medical world has got to get together, and the naturopathic field should combine their results, because I think there's an answer to all this. That's what's taught me, that we got an answer, we got to work together, and get rid of this divide in the medical profession.
Yes, there's too many people suffering. I mean, they estimate that in the United States alone, there's several million people afflicted with this illness. I'm sure Canada's got numbers that are similar. And then if we wrap ourselves around the world, we're probably talking, you know, millions upon millions of people that are suffering in some form.
Yeah, and suicide is the commonest cause of Lyme deaths. It's hard to believe. But people are told over and over by specialists, over and over, that there's nothing wrong with you. It's all psychological. They eventually commit suicide. And that's the commonest death right now.
It's terrible, and it's so sad, because there's other illnesses that people struggle with too, and they don't end up committing suicide. So Lyme disease is very, very despairing. There's a lot of negative energy involved within it. There's depression, anxiety, all kinds of neurotransmitters get mixed up besides the immune function. And Dr. Murakami, you were a wonderful guest today. You shared so much knowledge on so many different levels with us. We learned about tick removals, about the situation in Canada, about the cannabidiol. We've learned so many things from you. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me, and all for your education as well.
You're very welcome, Dr. Murakami. Everyone go to YouTube and put in Dr. Murakami, Murakami, and learn how to remove ticks properly. We had a great visit. Thank you. Visit my website, limelightradio.com. You can listen to the shows and archive, and Dr. Murakami's show will be there for you to share with others. Thank you, everyone. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Makris.
Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me, please.
You you can have it all. Join Dr. Richard Bartlett and Melissa Joy for our mind-blowing Festival of the Healing Arts coming to Seattle May 16th through the 25th. We'll be teaching the entire Matrix Energetic Seminar package in one location.
You have to experience it yourself. You have to be there, touch it, play with this.
It's not a complicated system. It's simple, it's easy, and it's fun. It's quite remarkable.
And this woman literally went doot, doot, and I had this wave, this whole like wave of energy come through me like I had never felt anything like that in my entire life, and it just blew me away. I was like, wow.
Matrix Energetics, consciousness technology for transformation and healing. Join us for a free introductory course May 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. Seminars will be at the DoubleTree Seattle Airport. Visit matrixenergetics.com for a seminar coming to a city near you. Come as you are and leave transformed.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit jenroyster.com for more information.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive, medium, and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense, LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's DEERDEFENCE@gmail.com.